This is the Warrior Mind Podcast, and I'm your host, Greg Swanson. Podcasting from beautiful Bend, Oregon, the Warrior Mind Podcast is a personal empowerment series that provides you the information required to develop a mindset of a warrior, maximize your human potential, and achieve peak performance. The Warrior Mind Podcast is produced every week for your enjoyment, and show notes and links can be found at www.warriormindcoach.com/blog. Please come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If this is your first time listening, thanks for coming. If you're returning, thank you for your continued support. The Warrior Mind Podcast is brought to you by Qualia, advanced mental nutrition to immediately enhance focus, energy, and mood, while supporting long-term brain health. Become remarkable. Go to warriormindcoach.com/neurohacker, that's with a capital N, and use code WMC to receive a 15% discount. Well, this is episode 361, and today I'm doing an interview with a fascinating gentleman, Christopher Plowman. Christopher started a meditation app called Insight Timer. Now, this isn't just your normal meditation app. There are many meditation apps out there. They give you a few selections and then you have to pay for more, or there are some ways of getting you to upsell into it. Well, this one is completely free. Absolutely free. And Christopher will talk about his business model or his intentions behind creating this app. But there's over 3 million users of this app to date. What's really great is that you can determine if you want a guided meditation, music, kind of like a story type one, and how long you have, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and it will pick out the app that suits you, or the meditation that suits you best. And then there's a social aspect to it, so you can see who's meditating nearby you and connect with them. It's a really, really great, great app. Again, it's called Insight Timer. So I'm going to interview Christopher here. We're going to talk about meditation, some of the challenges that are facing meditation apps, but also how meditation can help you in your life. So enjoy this interview with Christopher Plowman. Well, Christopher, thank you so much for taking time out today. You are a world traveler between Australia, I think it is, and Paris, and just trying to find the time to talk. It's just a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
I'm delighted to be here, Greg. You're going to have to excuse my Parisian cold today, but apart from that, I'm excited to be speaking with you.
Yeah, you know, Christopher, one of the things that I really promote a lot to my clients and on my newsletters and in my podcast is the power of meditation. And before we get into Insight Timer, could you give the audience a little bit about yourself, your background, and what intrigued you about meditation?
I wasn't too interested in meditation, actually. I spent about 20 years building tech companies in Australia, and about 5 years ago my wife and I, we moved to Bali for a few years with our kids, and I kind of decided to get out of the tech space, and my brother Nico started to meditate and became a meditation teacher, and he sort of kept telling me that I should learn to meditate, and I just thought he'd gone crazy on me. I wasn't that interested. But of course, when someone that you know and trust and sort of respect does something, I guess it's easier to be more interested in it. And so I went and did a meditation course with someone in Sydney. Ended up at a meditation retreat on the north coast of Bali about 4 or 5 years ago. And that was really for me when I kind of I connected with meditation. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that maintaining a daily meditation practice has been easy for me. It definitely hasn't. In fact, I struggle with it a great deal. I know the benefits of meditation, but I guess it's like exercise and, you know, many other things that it requires discipline and commitment. And so the app's been a great help for me in that regard. But I sort of I became a Vedic meditator, mm-hmm. and I guess the best way I can describe meditation when I'm doing it regularly is that it kind of just makes, you know, life's corners feel a little bit rounder. Mm. That's kind of the best way I can describe it, because I've been asked this question a lot. A couple of years, I could never give an articulate response. It's not that it's, you know, it's not a pill. It's not something that's a quick fix. It's like most sort of important things in life, mm-hmm. really, which is that it takes effort. And if you put the time in, then you get the reward back. So when I meditate, I'm less reactive. I'm less agitated. I'm a better dad. I enjoy life more. Let's just put it that way, because life tends to be less combative, or the universe tends to be less combative. And I'm sure I'm simply shining a mirror on myself there. It's probably that I'm less combative. So that's how I became a meditator. My brother was a meditator. He became a teacher. He convinced me to go and learn to meditate. And that's really what brought me to Insight Timer, because I had years old, I decided that I'd had enough of running tech companies. I was done.
Right.
But meditation got me back into it, and it got me to Insight Timer.
Awesome. Awesome. So what I heard, and this might be, I don't know if this has been presented to you, but often when we, and I'm generalizing, I guess I could say I, when we don't do something or follow through with it, it seems to be that we don't see the value in putting X amount of time in for something to get something in response. You know, we kind of brush our teeth. We know the importance of it because we've all had a dentist bill at some point. So and some of us exercise, some of us don't, because we don't see the value in it. But what I heard is that you were very aware of the changes in your life and the changes in your behavior and those smoothing out of those edges. And that might be, and my thought is that if people would start to maybe have a checklist, hey, here's who I am before I meditate. I'm irritable. The edges seem hard. And then being able to do a before and after picture. What are your thoughts on how that might help people maintain compliance, if you will, with a daily practice?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting idea. My meditation teacher said to me, I don't know why this sentence stuck with me, but he said that his wife can tell when he walks in the door at the end of the day if he meditated in the afternoon, right, before he said anything. And, of course, the risk by saying that is we sort of sounds like we're telling your listeners that meditation is a quick fix, and it's not a quick fix, obviously. I think the thing about brushing your teeth is, you know, your teeth feel clean and your breath smells better, and so there is that sort of taptic feedback, if you like.
That instant reward.
Correct. And I guess that's the case with exercise as well. You know, it's awful. It's awful having to get out of bed in the morning to go running, but when you get back and you feel great for your run, there's that sort of immediate feedback as well. There might not be the immediate results if you're trying to lose weight, for example.
Right.
But certainly if you're exercising for mental health, then the instant feedback is quite apparent, I think. You know, it releases endorphins and all those sorts of things. I'm not sure you can say that about meditation, although I don't know the answer. I'm just giving you an opinion here.
Yep.
I think that what's difficult with meditation is if you don't write the list, you could be mistaken in thinking that your life is just going through a good spell at the moment. And I've had friends who say this to me. They say, I meditated for 3 months and then everything was going fine, so I stopped meditating. thinking they didn't need the meditation. And of course, once they stopped meditating after 3 months, everything was shitty again, you know? Right. So yep. It's like, excuse my language,
that's
an Australian term.
That's fine.
But perhaps it requires some mental rigor, if you like, to actually create that list and say, over a period of a year, you know, if you meditated for 2 months and then stopped and then, which I'm not recommending, obviously, continue. But I think you would find an ebb and flow that's consistent with your meditation. Of course, this is consistent as well with you know, the Maharishi effect and that study they did in Chicago, wherever it was back in the 70s, where they got thousands of meditators to all meditate together in that airplane hangar. I don't know if you've heard about this. This research that they did.
I heard one story of where they brought monks and meditated. I don't know if it was in New York, but it was a crime-ridden area. And during the meditation, crime actually went down.
Correct. And before they did it, they went and saw the chief of police, and they said, "We're gonna reduce crime rates by 30% by meditating." And the chief of police said, "The only thing that's going to prevent crime to reduce in this city by more than 20% is 50 feet of snow," right? He said, "It's just not going to happen." And of course it did. You know, they rang a bell, people would start to meditate, and not just crime rates, but seismic activity, financial markets, all of these metrics would improve while these people were meditating. And then they'd ring a bell randomly and they'd stop and the metrics would return to normal. And so for me, this is super interesting. I can't describe it scientifically, although some scientists now say that they can sort of explain how this works scientifically. And so at a micro level, on an individual level, I think a list of things that seem to be going well and a list that don't seem to be going well mapped against your meditation practice would be very interesting. In fact, it's given me an idea. I think we should try and do that on the app with a couple hundred thousand users. I mean, it's obviously it's subjective, but I think it would be an interesting test to run.
Well, yeah, I think because if it's subjective, then that's the best thing, right? Because that it's the person's own, it's the participants who are making the judgment on it, and it's not, you know, somebody's wife or husband saying, "Hey, you look better, you feel better." It is subjective, and that can be powerful. Because one of the things is when I talk to clients and I give them a similar story that you have just given. Is that, well, yeah, those monks have been meditating for 20 years to get there. Well, I don't have the time. I don't have this. And so then they start to discount, you know, they argue for the limitation. And what I love about Insight Timer, and we'll get into that in a few minutes, is that it provides, hey, if you only have 5 minutes, here it is. Here's your selections. And so there's a way to build up that momentum of doing it regularly for 5 minutes every day and then maybe 10 minutes every day. So, you know, to help build it up. And I think to put a checklist there would be fascinating to see the results. I mean, if nobody's done it, that would be some great stuff that you could do right at Insight Timer.
Yeah, no, that'd be interesting. The problem we have is we have such a big community, so we have to plan these things carefully. But it's definitely something to add to our list of exciting future projects. I'd like to try it.
So let's get into that. Insight Timer. I've been using it. I was exposed to it recently and have been using it. Tell the listeners a little bit about it. I mean, I think you have over 3 million participants, meditators in the world. Please describe it because I find it extremely helpful.
Yeah, look, I mean, I guess in simplistic terms, we're kind of the only sort of really true free meditation app. There's a lot of apps out there that sort of say that they're free, but really they give you a very small amount of content and all the, you know, but they lock your daily meditation practice behind a paywall. And what we wanted to do was actually provide free, you know, a free meaningful daily meditation practice to anyone who wanted it. So I think now we've got about 7,000 or 8,000 guided meditations on the app, all which are free. They've been published by 1,500 different meditation teachers. We've got a great meditation timer, which is used about 150,000 times every single day to record meditation sessions. We're now about 3 million meditators. We're growing at about 10,000 new meditators who join our community every single day. And that's essentially in a nutshell what it is. Right. And we're sort of super excited about it.
What I love about it also is you added a social aspect to it. So, you know, you can see who in your area is meditating. You can connect with them as friends. And other parts of it. So, you know, many times I've already connected with a lot of people on there. And I don't know what I want to listen to, but I'll see what my friends have just listened to. And I go, oh, that sounds interesting. Let me check it out. So it's allowed me to explore other meditations in a unique way through a social connection.
Yeah, look, and the social features are I hate using the word social. That's a very good description of them, because there's a couple of other big social networks out there who I think have done a terrible job at building sort of conscious social products like Instagram and Facebook. I don't think these apps are actually very social. I think they're very anti-social, mm-hmm. actually. And I think it's probably that actually understands what it means to be social and understands the importance of connecting with others, you know, conscious development, meditation's both a very personal experience, but the extension of it obviously is a happier planet. And that requires deeper relationships with our friends and our families and our co-workers and our community. And I think this is where all the other meditation apps fall short, right? Which is they're very singular activities. Now, of course, you can turn all the social features off on our app if you're not interested in that. Mm-hmm. But what we find, in fact, what we hear a lot anecdotally from our users is that they came for the timer, or they came for a particular teacher or a particular guided meditation, but they stay for the friends. Mm-hmm. Because it is great. You know, you jump on the app in the morning, you can see that one of your friends or one of your kids or someone has just meditated to a new guided meditation and they really liked it. And that's a great way to sort of discover new teachings and discover new music. And so that part of the app is very, very important to the Insight Timer experience. Community is a big part of the Insight Timer app.
Yeah, I mean, so one of the things that one of the many things that I like about Insight Timer is that when I talk to clients about starting a practice, first thing is, well, I have to sit quietly. I can't listen to anything. Well, no, you don't. You can listen to some music and just go through your breathing. And then you go, well, what music should I listen to? And so they create a whole story about why they can't do this. And so what I love about Insight Timer is with this selection, hey, how long do you have to do today? And I recommend my clients, if they've never done anything, just do 5 minutes. And so on Insight Timer, you have this wonderful selection of time frames on what you can listen to and if you want to listen to music only or a guided meditation. So this Insight Timer takes every single excuse away from somebody who, quote, wants to meditate but can't find the, quote, time.
Yeah, look, you're right. I mean, it's taken us about 2 years to build that catalog, and it's growing every day. We add about 100 new guided meditations every week. I think it's daunting for people who've never meditated before to enter an app and start to meditate. And I think what we've found with most of the other apps as well is – you know, they've built a whole business model around getting you to pay them, which creates this layer of conflict or anxiety because you get these push notifications, and if you don't meditate, they don't get paid. And so it's kind of the antithesis of what meditation is about, right?
It's creating the stress. Hey, I got to meditate. They're creating the stress to meditate.
Yeah, so, I mean, and this is, I think, the problem with most of the meditation apps is they're commercializing your meditation practice, mm-hmm. right, very simply. And for us, that's just – the conundrums are just too great. If you just extrapolate that out at some point, if some company is depending on you to meditate every day to pay their bills, right, that's not going to end well, right, mm-hmm. because they'll start to encourage you through hooks and incentives and all those sorts of things – to meditate. With Insight Timer, we don't make a cent whether you meditate or not, right? So you don't get emails from us saying, hey, we haven't seen you in a few days, or hey, discount this month, 2-for-1. If you buy this, we'll give you that. You get none of that. In fact, we don't email our users at all. Right. We don't even have a system to email our users. You'll get an email when you sign up to say, hey, here's your password or whatever it is, but you'll never get an email from me or someone sort of trying to sell you something. And so I do think that's what's great about Insight Timer. When people arrive, they don't feel like someone is selling to them. You log on, you go to the guided meditations. It says, how long have you got? You say, I've got 5 minutes. and it says, do you want a little bit of music? Do you want someone to talk you through something? Are you interested in spiritual meditation, or would you prefer something, you know, that doesn't have any sort of spiritual content or religious content in there? And that's just a very sort of easy on-ramp for someone to get in and start learning how to meditate.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And one of the things that I like is I like tracking my participation, whether it's going to the gym or doing something else. And in there it says how many days in a row have I – so it's not pressuring me, but it's allowing me to see my consistency.
Yeah, so we do have on the app again, you can turn this off as well. Apps that depend on you to pay them don't let you turn these things off. But for us, if you don't want to get milestones and, you know, recognition that you've done 30 days in a row, you can just say, just don't tell me. I don't care. But a lot of our users find that very useful, you know, because it gives them a way to track what they're up to. They've got a few charts about how long they meditated for. I'm a Virgo personally, so for me, stats are very important right. in how I run my life. But if you're perhaps an Aquarius or a Capricorn or someone, maybe you don't want that. But that's what I like about Insight Timer, is that we have so many users who are all very different that we allow you to turn these things off or turn them on as the case may be.
Right. But I think what's important about that is other mechanisms have used that power of feedbacks, you know, things like Fitbit and other things like that will say, hey, you've walked 10,000 feet today, and you know, they give a little reward and it encourages it. So that's what I really love also about Insight Timer, is that you have that in there so people can track themselves and be proud of what they're doing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as I said, I think for people that like that, that's a very important part of their practice. We set up a group in December last year because I was struggling to meditate every day of the year. I knew the benefits, but it was just difficult. And so I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a group on the app called the 365 Day Together Challenge. And I thought, well, I'll see how many people I get, and we'll all see if we can meditate every day together rather than having milestones and charts and stats. And we'll just set up a group where people can comment about how they're feeling, or if they missed a day, you know, how they can get back in the saddle and so on. And I think now we have about 80,000 people in that group meditating.
Wow.
I'm not suggesting that all of them have meditated every day, but it's been very helpful and especially very interesting for me to actually interact with so many people every single day about the challenges and the benefits of a daily meditation practice.
And that's what I was going to ask you next, is what are some of the, I don't even want to say testimonials about the app itself, but what are some of the stories that you've received on how meditation has affected people's lives?
It's funny, I've been asked that question before. Of course, we get lots of very encouraging messages from people. The ones that I find most, not confronting is the wrong word, but I often get sort of people who message me directly and say, Insight Timer saved my life. Mm. I'm not trying to sound dramatic there, right. But I really think that this community of meditators, there's no judgment, there's no criticism. It's a unique sort of place on the internet. If you look at most other places on the internet, they're combative and angry and, you know, not great. Insight Timer is a really safe place for people to come and be, you know, upset or be unhappy or mm-hmm. be anxious and supported while they're going through those emotions. And where, you know, it's a huge responsibility for me and our team. We take it very seriously. But they're probably the messages that we get that have the biggest impact on us emotionally, I guess, because we realize just how important it is that we continue to offer this platform and this service to so many different people. And of course, we get other emails. I had one woman who emailed me once and said, could I send her the GPS coordinates of our office in Sydney, because she met her husband on Insight Timer. And so for her, wherever our office was in Australia was her meeting place with her husband, which I thought was great. So, of course, we sent her those, and she had them engraved on her wedding.
Oh, funny. Which
I thought was great as well.
Absolutely. And you mentioned about the community. You would think, or my presumption is, that if you have an app that's around meditation, most people meditate to be calm, to be more mindful, to be happy. And other social quite platforms aren't that way. That's not what they're either promoting directly or indirectly. And I think that, you know, going to Insight Timer, knowing that you're going to meet people who are in that same direction as you are, creates a safe environment to interface and to talk and ask questions. So I think, you know, what you've done there is create a really wonderful safe environment for people to dip their toe into meditation, maybe even ask questions and get support.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think you're going to find it started already, actually, and I'm really glad it has, but I think that the existing social networks are answering some very, very specific questions about mental health. And I've decided that I'm going to be vocal about it now as well. I'm not suggesting that these social networks sort of start out with bad intentions, but I know that the product that they sell has been designed to create dopamine hits and addictive usage patterns. Because every time you go back to Facebook, that's another visit, and they make another 1 cent by selling your information to other people. Mm-hmm. And now it's sort of finally started to come out in the open. There's a great guy called Professor Scott Galloway who's just written a book called The Four, about the big tech companies, and sort of drawn a parallel between them and the tobacco companies in the 60s and 70s, who all stood up and said, we don't believe nicotine is addictive, when of course they knew very well that the cigarette was a distribution engine for nicotine, which was addictive. If you look at sort of suicide rates of young teenage girls, they're growing dramatically at the moment, and of course they're the highest use case demographic for social media, right? Something's not right here. And you know, again, I just want to be clear, I'm not suggesting that the owners of these companies set out to do this, but I think it's time that we started to look at what technology and what social media apps are doing to us as people. There's a great website called timewellspent.io. This is a guy who started to actually look into this, and he just released some research a couple of months ago and interviewed 200,000 people on specific apps. And Insight Timer was rated as the most happy app in terms of how people felt after they had spent time using Insight Timer. If you actually think about how you feel when you go and spend time on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and how you feel when you actually turn those apps off, you don't always feel that great, right? They talk about community and they talk about connecting the world, but what they're really trying to do is they're trying to make as much money from you coming to that app every single day. And so they've got thousands, and this is one of the great disappointments for me as a 43-year-old, because they're sort of my contemporaries, if you like. But, you know, what I find really difficult today is, you know, 50 years ago, the best scientists and the best doctors and the best designers were building great new things, right? And now what we have is the best and the brightest minds in the world are sitting in Silicon Valley to design subtle ways to get you to click on more ads.
Yeah.
Great brain drain. And
what I'm hoping is that people will start to wake up to this and say, look, these apps are not healthy. They're not sort of helping mental health. An app like Insight Timer, which doesn't try and hit you up, it's not trying to hook you in. It's actually trying to get you to slow down, to contemplate, to meditate, and to connect with others in a very genuine way. And that's why the community part of our app. I've waffled on a bit here, Greg. I apologize.
I think this is important, Christopher, because you're hitting on a really important subject. You know, through either the dopamine release, being addicted to it, and going back and following Twitter and all these things, we become, you know, in a sense, Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about, we become addicted to our emotions, and it's actually the chemicals that are released. But you're hitting on a really important point, because then to circumvent that, to be able to meditate and calm down and feel good afterwards, is really important.
Couldn't agree with you more. And that's why I think that it's important when you go and look for a meditation app, you know, do your research. Don't look for an app that, once you've used the first 10-day pack, is then going to start trying to charge you to meditate every day. I'm not suggesting that some of these apps haven't done a great job in introducing mindfulness to a younger demographic. But unfortunately, I think a lot of them have switched from a conscious pursuit to a commercial pursuit. They haven't got the balance right because they're more interested in charging you than they are in you meditating every day. So, you know, I'm quite excited by the fact that the US Congress is now sort of looking into Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp and their business practices, and they're starting to say, look, because I think it's only just started, but I think we're going to see a very important analysis or investigation over the next 3 to 5 years about the impact that some of these companies have had on mental health. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to start to see people who work inside these organizations start putting their hands up and saying, yes, we knew that what we were doing was actually manipulating emotive responses in people. And so let's see what happens.
Right.
I've gone off topic here about this.
But I think you're way on topic, in that we talked about a checklist, right? And about how do you feel before you meditate? How do you feel after? Well, in that, this is just, people could do this right now, and you made a good point on it. How, you know, write down, how do I feel after I log off of Facebook? How do I feel after I log off of Instagram? How do I feel when I log off of LinkedIn? What are those feelings? And then go over and meditate and use the full functionality of Insight Timer, and then say, how did I feel after I used Insight Timer? And just doing that will show the importance of meditation, being in a calm place, being mindful. Not to say that those other things are bad, but if we look at our life and we look at our emotions, our reflection of our thoughts, and our, you know, there's the TFAR model, right? Our thoughts lead to feelings, lead to actions, lead to results. Well, if our thoughts aren't empowering, our actions, our feelings aren't going to be empowering, and our results are going to be less than what we want. And what I'm hearing, as you say, is that there is evidence that supports it, and I think we all know it intuitively, the ones that are mindful, that these other social medias are really not there for our benefit, where Insight Timer is there to create a mindful community. So I think you're right on topic.
Yeah, and I think that's actually just drawn a very interesting conclusion there, which I agree with, which is, I don't think these companies are here for your benefit. I think they're here to create huge amounts of profit. And of course, you know, please, I hope your listeners don't misunderstand me. We have great aspirations to build, you know, a strong and sustainable company. We spend a lot thinking about how you can actually, is it possible to run a commercially conscious company, or do these things ultimately sort of into each other? And in actual fact, we concluded that there's no choice. We must find a way to build socially conscious companies? Because up until now, what you've had is basically one or the other. If you look at just a conscious pursuit that has no commercial infrastructure to it at all, eventually those things sort of become hobbies. They reach a level of entropy because there's nothing sustaining it, right? It's hard to, of course, you'll find some volunteers time to time, but it's hard to attract talent and enthusiasm and youth. Has social infrastructure. If you look at something that has purely commercial pursuits, I'm talking about things like banks and a few other things, you know, they might tend to grow and become richer and richer, but they certainly, you know, they don't add any value. Sorry, someone just came into my office. Sorry. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there, Greg. Apologies, someone can rob us. Something that's a commercial entity doesn't, the universe won't support something like that, right? If someone's just trying to make money, essentially that will reach a level of entropy at some point, right? And so what we've done is we've spent sort of the last 3 years trying to work out how you can harmoniously bring commercial and conscious together so that you can have profitable companies, but they actually do have the intention of doing good rather than just making money. You can do these things at the same time. And the way we've decided to do that is we're going to continue to give away everything that's currently allowed for free, and we're going to continue to invest in the free features. We're going to continue to upload new guided meditations every day. But we're going to add three other ideas to the app which don't commercialize your daily meditation practice but complement it. Right. So we're going to put donations on the app. So you'll be able to donate to teachers if you like their work. And Insight Time will take a commission on that. We're going to build some advanced features, which you can pay a small monthly fee to use. But all of the knowledge and all of the guided meditations and the time and the groups, all of that will always be free. And we're going to build stuff on the periphery that we hope will be enough to actually mean that we can pay the bills and keep growing the company. A lot of people don't realize it costs us about $3 million a year to run Insight Timer. And yeah, it's expensive. Infrastructure all around the world, and we've got 25 staff, and you know, it costs a lot of money to run something like this. So I'm quite excited about that because, you know, it's going to be a very interesting challenge over the next 3 years to see if we can pull this off.
What I'm hearing is that I kind of work with my clients saying that this is not an either or world. It can be a both. And what I'm hearing is that what you're wanting to do is take the both side of it. Hey, provide some great utility for people at zero cost, but then also how do you make that sustainable? It's not one or the other. Either you got to charge for it all or you give it away and then atrophy into nothingness. You're looking at a model that can actually combine both of those. And for those that are listening, you know, it is a business, and people have to. Christopher has bills to pay at his home. He needs to be able to pay that, and in order to do that, and his staff, and he has to pay his staff. But in order to do that, there has to be a revenue part to it. But what I appreciate, Christopher, and what you're doing is that your core, the essence of Insight Timer, is really there for the benefit of the individuals to help them get into a meditative practice so that their life will improve.
Yes, and what we're not doing, which is what every social media company does and which what most meditation apps do, is we're not going to monetize the user. Right, we're not going to turn you into a product. We're going to keep the meditation for free, and you can sign up without ever giving us a credit card, without ever doing anything, and you can still go through your conscious development all for free. If from time to time you want to purchase something that's on the free, you can, and we hope that the total number of those will sort of cover more than what it's costing us to run the company. I've just actually written an article on Medium, which I'll send to you that your audience might be interested in, which talks about how we're going to do this. It'll be interesting to see if we can pull it off.
Yep. Yes, please. I would like to see that. I can put on my blog post, and then actually when I post this podcast, can make reference to it. So if you would send me that article, that'd be wonderful. Christopher, I know you're busy. You have a lot going on. I want to thank you so much for your time. What's the best way? Where can people find out about Insight Timer? What's the URL? What are some of the, do you have a Facebook page and all that kind of stuff?
We do, actually. I mean, insighttimer.com is okay. The easiest way to find us. You can find us on the App Store or the Play Store. Just search for Insight Timer. I'm ashamed to say we have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/insighttimer.
Well, you have to use what's available to you, right?
We do. We don't spend any money on advertising. We don't have a marketing team or a PR. Our 10,000 new users that we get every single day are all coming through word of mouth. Right. That's the best way to find us. Go to our website or go to the App Store.
Perfect. Christopher, thank you so much again for your time. We probably could have hour-long discussions about the research that you've done and research that I've read about the powers of meditation. So just want to thank you for your time and congratulate you on putting together such a wonderful platform.
It's been my pleasure, Greg, and maybe let's catch up in 12 months' time and see how our plans to build a commercially conscious company are going.
I would love to. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Greg.
Thanks for listening to the Warrior Mind podcast. If you liked what you've heard, please tell your friends and subscribe by your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. Also, make sure you check out www.warriormindtraining.com. Until next time, live with courage. And remember, every facet, every compartment of your mind is to be programmed by you. And unless you take your rightful responsibility to program your own mind, the world will program it for you.